Word of mouth.
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 Mouth. Mouth.
This is Word of Mouth from New Hampshire Public Radio. I'm Taylor Quimby in for Virginia Prescott. If you think there are bad food deserts in cities across the United States, try finding some fresh produce in outer space. Astronauts living on the International Space Station don't go hungry, of course, but since it costs about $10,000 to send a single pound of food to the ISS, you can bet they don't see a lot of leafy greens. That cost is just one reason growing and harvesting fresh fruit in outer space is a crucial step in the future of manned space exploration. Jesse Hirsch is a staff writer for Modern Farmer, where you can find his article, Space Farming, the Final Frontier, and he joins us now to talk about the difficulty of putting produce in space. Jesse, welcome to Word of Mouth.
Thanks for having me. Great to be here.
Thanks for joining us. So up until now, what exactly have American astronauts been surviving on? Are we talking Kraft mac and cheese and Tang, right?
Basically that, yeah. There's been some updates over the years. An article came out a couple years back about how they're trying to go a little fancier with their food, but at the same time, they're limited by constraints of space, meaning how much space they actually have on the space station and how much it costs to send everything up there. So they look for things that are densely caloric, things that will not cost that much and will last the astronauts a long time.
Do astronauts ever get the opportunity to have any fresh produce?
Yes. When there is a re-upping mission, as soon as the shuttle gets there, there's about a week or two worth of produce that they apparently tear through pretty quickly.
So last year, American astronaut Don Pettit conducted some small-scale farming experiments. Tell us a little bit about what he was doing.
This was just mostly a personal project for him. He brought up a zucchini plant, which was the star of the show, as well as a couple of other plants that he said were keeping his zucchini company, a sunflower plant and a broccoli plant. And he basically just grew them in a very low-tech way, raised them on using compost from the food that they were eating, and he would move the plants around from window to window, depending on where the space station was in relation to the sun. And he kept a blog using the voice of the zucchini called Diary of a Space Zucchini.
So on board the space station, astronauts experience, I think, 15 separate sunrises every 24 hours. So how does that unusual sun cycle and other things like zero gravity, for example, affect plant life? You know, how did they affect Don Pettit's plants?
Well, like I said, he was kind of winging it. He had not been fully trained on horticulture or what the plant needed. So I think that he just based it on instinct and was just moving it around based on whether the plants looked wilty or not. But the program that they are launching this year in December, they're not going to use the sun at all. They're actually going to use entirely LED lights.
So tell me a little bit about that program. You're talking about a plant experiment to grow lettuce.
To grow lettuce, yes. In December of this year, NASA is going to send up a program called Veggie, and it's the first time that they're ever going to be growing their own produce in space, potentially for the astronauts to eat. And so they're going to send up six romaine lettuce plants and grow them under LED lights. And the lettuce plants are very quick to grow, easy to harvest. You don't need much preparation after they're done growing, so they can just go directly to the astronauts.
You mentioned space being an issue on the space station. Obviously, there's not a lot of it. What are some of the other big challenges facing space farming that earthbound gardeners might not have to think about?
Well, there is also the fact that there are germs that NASA is very careful about not being consumed by the astronauts. These are things that typically are not too harmful. There's bacteria on our skin. There's bacteria everywhere here, but can have significantly more adverse effects up in space. Once they grow the first set of lettuce plants, they're going to be very cautious about whether or not they are going to be safe to be eaten.
You write that Russians are already allowed to eat space-grown vegetation. The NASA astronauts aren't going to be able to eat their lettuce right away. That must be a little bit of a burn.
Yeah, it is a little bit of a burn. I don't think anyone's too happy about that. But I also got the sense that they thought, well, you know, we'd rather be safe than sorry. We feel like the Russian side of the station is being a little lax, but I don't know if that's just the fact that they're sad that they don't get to eat it themselves.
We tend to think of growing food in space as fulfilling an obvious physical need, but you write that plant life also serves an emotional purpose for astronauts. How so?
Well, it's just been proven that tending a plant every day, the kind of the soothing zen of it, feeling like there's something in your care, kind of like taking care of a pet, can have immense psychological benefits. It's something that called horticultural therapy that's been tested out at prisons like Rikers Island. There have been plants that were grown in space before, just not edible ones or ones that were able to be consumed by astronauts. And when you look at Don Pettit last year, for instance, it made his experience quite a bit better. The fact that he was tending these plants every day, it boosted his mood.
Yeah. In fact, his zucchini becomes something of an honorary crewmate in the diary.
Yes, I think he became quite close to it. I asked him if he would have been able to eat the zucchini or the broccoli, and he said that there was absolutely no way. He was too emotionally invested.
Jesse, tell me about the possibility of space livestock. You know, is there any discussion on whether astronauts could raise small animals, you know, as a source of protein, or is something like that totally out of the question?
It's not totally out of the question. In fact, the Russians have done tests on quails for some time. They have not actually consumed any, but they've been sending eggs up for decades now. They've had a lot of problems when you actually hatch an egg in space. They have not been able to get them to full healthy adulthood thus far, but it is something that they have considered for quite some time. The key thing is, too, is that when you raise livestock in space, talk about something that requires a lot of resources and nutrients, and it takes up space. Like, you couldn't have a cow.
Right.
That'd be way too big. So it would have to be something along the lines of rabbits or quails. And it's also been suggested that insects. They've done some testing in Mexico and Japan on whether insects would be a good protein source in space.
Jesse Hirsch is staff writer for Modern Farmer, a print quarterly and website about the people, places, and stories behind the food we eat. There's a link to his article about space farming at wordofmouthradio.org. Jesse, thanks so much for speaking with me.
Thank you so much for having me.